This podcast of NPR's On Point with Tom Ashbrook is a production of WBUR Boston.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. With his poll numbers down again to all-time lows, President Bush is standing up today with a big speech promising to outline a national strategy for victory in Iraq. Not an exit strategy, but a victory strategy, Don Rumsfeld said yesterday. A strategy for Iraqis, but also for Americans, who in ever larger majority have soured on the war. In this hour, we will hear excerpts from the president's speech and dig into the U.S. strategy document made public today. We'll hear from the Pentagon, from top military analysts, and from investigative reporter Seymour Hersh, who says we may see fewer American boots on the ground, but more U.S. bombs from the air. Up next on Point, strategy and reality in Iraq. Joining me right now from Washington to better understand the elements of the Bush plan laid out today and what he's offering is Mark Mazzetti, Pentagon reporter for the Los Angeles Times. Mark, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom.
Is there something new here? What's going on? There's a lot of noise coming out of the White House. What's at the heart of it?
A couple things. First of all, as you said just a moment ago, this document shows that the White House is listening to both the Congress and the declining public support among the American people. You recall about 2 weeks ago, Republicans and Democrats joined together saying the White House needs to outline its strategy for Iraq. Well, 2 weeks later, this is what the president's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And this 35-page document, as you say, there are not any big new headlines in the sense of unveiling a strategy that hasn't been talked about by other U.S. officials before. But what the attempt is to in one document, outline different, as they call, pillars as a victory in Iraq. But what it really is a foundation for a gradual U.S. drawdown of forces in Iraq and all of these conditions that need to be met beginning next year that will allow U.S. troops to begin coming home.
So it's being described as a victory strategy, but you're saying it is, in fact, an exit strategy wrapped in victory clothing?
Well, it is a drawdown strategy, and what the White House and the Pentagon say is that it's not an exit strategy in the sense that this is not a cut and run strategy. It is an attempt to focus on training Iraqi forces enough so that they can begin taking over counterinsurgency missions and other missions that the U.S. forces are currently doing, holding areas that insurgents have held in the past. And what President Bush is saying in his speech is that every day Iraqi forces are getting better trained. There are more units that are able to do things they weren't able to do a year ago. He described the recent offensive in the western town of Talifar as being so much different than a year ago in Fallujah when the U.S. took the lead. He's saying in Talifar it was the Iraqis who took the lead, and that's a real key point of difference.
Is that a fair description, Mark Mazzetti, from what you know from the field?
It is a fair description that Iraqi forces did take the lead in operations. The big question, and where the jury is still out, as commanders say, is that we don't know whether these Iraqis will be able to hold the territory that they've kept. That has been the real key in the past, is that U.S. and Iraqi troops move into an area and then quickly leave, and then insurgents and foreign fighters then move right back in and reclaim the area. The big key test of this strategy that Bush is laying out today is whether Iraqi forces will be able to keep this territory, not allow insurgents to come back in, and therefore allow U.S. forces to move into other areas and eventually come back to the United States.
Mark, we're trying to get our heads around a kind of sense of ambivalence, ambiguity, even in the president's speech today. You say this is at heart a drawdown strategy for U.S. troops, and yet the president talks about, very clearly says, this will take time and patience. The message, the formal message is we will stay as long as it takes. We heard Condoleezza Rice sort of lean toward the withdrawal view of things, and then yesterday Bush and Rumsfeld saying no way, no how, it's about victory as long as it takes. Is this resolved, or is there an actual tension within the strategy? Is there conflict within the strategy?
No, I don't think there's conflict, but I think that you'll always find President Bush to be the last one to articulate this idea of a drawdown. His advisors have come out and said it, but President Bush's key advisors of the White House don't want the president on record saying we will draw down next year, because if something happens, then it looks like he went back on his word. But you are seeing a movement in the president's language that in this speech that you really hadn't heard in the past. And one example is, he says in his speech, he says, our goal is to train enough Iraqi forces so they can carry the fight. So basically saying, train enough Iraqis so they can begin fighting insurgents to allow U.S. forces to go home. If you recall, over the summer, President Bush said, when the insurgents are defeated, our U.S. troops will come home. It's a different language, and it's sort of characterizing a different set of criteria for allowing U.S. troops to eventually leave.
So enough to carry the fight, enough Iraqi troops and capability to carry the fight, therefore defining victory, really victory as an exit strategy. Not an ideal situation left behind in Iraq, but a good enough strategy for U.S. troops to leave.
Well, it's a strategy, as they say, to let Iraqis take on insurgents themselves, to build enough Iraqi forces and Iraqi capabilities, economic and also military, to allow them to do it themselves. That is something that U.S. commanders and even Rumsfeld have said for the better part of 6 months, that you know, the U.S. is not going to defeat the insurgents, the Iraqis are. President Bush really hasn't been saying that until today, and I think that's a pretty new development.
Behind all of the talk and the pages of plans, is there a number out there anywhere, Mark? Is there a target for what U.S. troops, it's still, what, 100 and you name it, 1,000 troops there, down to what by when? Any of that?
The initial plans that are being drawn up is that after the December 15th elections and into early next year, they can probably withdraw to about 130,000, which is where we were this summer. As you recall, we've built back up
for the elections. Yeah.
But then by the spring and summer, that they can begin to draw down even more, depending again on this training of Iraqi forces, to about 120,000, 110,000. And then by the end of 2006, they can get below 100,000. That's the current military planning. As they say, it's all conditions based. It depends on what happens, but that's what they'd like to see happen by the end of the year.
So a big change in numbers, but still something up toward the 100,000 range. Not exactly gone. A lot to follow here. Mark Mazzetti at the Pentagon. We're very grateful to you for being with us.
Okay, thanks, Tom.
In this week's New Yorker magazine, Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative journalist Seymour Hersh looks at how exactly the Pentagon may plan to achieve its goals. What he found, it will increasingly rely on air power in the sky to draw down troops on the ground. Seymour Hersh, thank you for being with us.
I'm right here.
The president's saying a lot this morning. You've anticipated a lot of this speech in your piece. What have you found, Seymour Hersh, about the plans, the current application of air power and the forward plans for air power as Washington hopes to wind down its ground presence in Iraq?
Well, the major thing, of course, is that all pullout plans depend on the president. And this president is totally committed to what he calls victory, democratization, or what you will. But one thing that's very clear, at least to my sources or the people I talk with, is that pulling out troops isn't going to mean a wind down of violence in the war. We're going to replace any American troops that leave. The Iraqi forces that are left are going to be buttressed by more American air. And right now, there's an awful lot. It's sort of the X factor in the war. One of the things that's always haunted me in a way is how we and the press have really failed to get this administration to tell us what's going on with bombing. Bombing's been a steady part of this war since it began. We don't, as we did in Vietnam, we don't have any daily sortie totals. A sortie is one mission by one plane, one bomber. We don't know how much tonnage. Given all that, we know the Navy's involved, the Marines and the Air Force are involved. We don't have embedded reporters there. All the evidence we have anecdotally is that the number of bombs have gone up and exponentially, certainly in the last 6 months, as the war has intensified in the Sunni Triangle, the provinces around Baghdad. But the game plan is simply to continue the violence, except that American forces won't be there. There'll be fewer Americans to die, which is good, but that means just more Iraqis will die because the violence will not stop.
Is there evidence that the air war is being stepped up already? And if there's increased reliance on it in the future, what is the military attitude toward that? Do they welcome it as an alternative to ground troops or fear it? What's the picture?
Well, the Air Force is rattled beyond belief about it because the question is who's going to target their bombs. Many of the weapons dropped are sophisticated radar, you know, JDAM we call it, laser-guided bombs, and in order to hit the target, somebody on the ground has to paint, illuminate, on a target with a laser beam. And the Air Force says, are we going to let the Iraqis do it? And right now the administration will tell you there's going to be joint teams set up as we pull out, and that we're going to set up joint teams to do the bombing. But eventually the bombing will be turned over to the Iraqis. What does that mean? The Iraqi military is pretty much penetrated, if it wants to be, by the insurgency. There's also tribal disputes. There's internecine warfare among families. Are we going to be bombing brother-in-law's homes? Are the Iranians going to be indirectly doing some bombing? How much penetration there is? And I'll tell you something that really is distressing to me. Again, there's no numbers about the bomb, but in doing this piece this week for The New Yorker, we found one sort of good analysis. One Marine wing, and don't forget there's Navy and Air Force bombing there,
right,
and other wings. One wing alone in about 1 year dropped 500,000 tons of ordnance. 500,000 tons, one wing, that's 2,500-pound bombs. 2,500, one wing alone. And I have talked anecdotally to Navy men who work on aircraft carriers that tell me we do a lot of bombing from the Navy does a lot of bombing off carriers into Iraq and into the Gulf. People have told me that every day trawlers come up with to reload and resupply them with weapons, with bombs. Bombs are being used at that pace. But we don't know. It's a number that's never given out. It's not talked about.
The air war is sort of invisible here, but you're also painting a picture, Seymour Hersh, of something that's already being described as a kind of civil war, a civil war that could intensify with American aircraft still pouring firepower in from the sky as the situation on the ground could get very murky indeed.
Yeah, you've said a mouthful. That's about it. And that's what I write about in this article is the fact that I'm talking to senior Air Force people, planners, and even some of the very senior generals who all say, the word they use is certification. Any Iraqi that's going to be telling American planes where to bomb, we have to know who they are. We have to certify their reliability. And, of course, that's impossible. And, you know, when you're doing the kind of bombing we're doing, the number I've given you breaks down to something, you know, I can tell you something more than two, as many as 100 or 200 aiming points a day. You know, that's, you know, 10 or 20 an hour. I mean, how many targets? Who's going to be giving the targets? Who's going to be pointing the targets? These are serious issues.
So lots of pit.
Well, let me just say this:
yes.
We're going to have more casualties when we pull out, but they're not going to be American. That's just the reality.
Lots of pitfalls here, but at bottom, what you're describing then is a situation where we might have something that feels and looks like a withdrawal, but still air power. And you quote senior defense officials, retired or former, saying. That if it's Prime Minister Alawi, for example, we might well have a lot of special forces still inside Iraq. So a kind of formal march out, but a lot still going on.
Oh, absolutely. Look, this president is not giving up this war. You have to give him credit. He is sticking by what he's, you know, he ran in 90 for re-election in 2004 without backing off one inch on the war and won. And I think he sees it his destiny, if you will. I don't know whether it's manifest destiny or what you will. But intellectually, he is committed to winning. That is bringing democracy to Iraq. If it's more casualties and more toughness, so it goes. He's going to stick the course. And you can call it idealism. You can call it utopianism. But what worries me is this is a guy that I'm not sure is capable, as I also write about, incapable of hearing news he doesn't want to hear. And so it's not pulling out is great. I mean, in the sense of one is in great agony for the Americans killed, but we also and many of us are also in agony for the Iraqis killed, and that's not going to end with a pullout.
Seymour Hersh with the New Yorker magazine, Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter. His article this week is Up in the Air: Where is the Iraq War Headed Next? Seymour Hersh, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Joining us now from Washington is Patrick Claussen, Deputy Director for Research at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. He's a former professor at the National Defense University's Institute for National Strategic Studies. He's been a supporter of intervention in Iraq and been our frequent guest here. Patrick Claussen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And with us from Washington, Lawrence Korb, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress, Senior Advisor to the Center for Defense Information. He was Assistant Secretary of Defense for Ronald Reagan from 81 to 85, but has been a pretty stern critic of the George W. Bush administration on the war front. Lawrence Korb, thank you for being with us.
Nice to be with you.
Patrick Claussen, I'm sure you've been listening. You've seen the report that's come out, 35 pages of strategy planning progress report. Are you heartened by this? Is there a material change here? Do you see something new, something promising?
Well, I'm heartened that the administration is more clearly articulating its strategy and is devoting more effort towards explaining it to the American people and to the world, because it's pretty much the same strategy we've had for about a year and a half now, and it's a strategy which is working relatively well on the kind of slow timetable that seems most appropriate faced with this kind of insurgency. Mr. Rumsfeld spoke more than a year ago about how insurgencies take 7 to 10 years to be defeated, and that we're going to have to be on the side of the Iraqis for the first several years in that effort. But sometimes we in the broader public lose track of how slow this process is going to be.
The president calling for time and patience today, and yet we heard Mark Mazzetti, LA Times reporter at the Pentagon, saying this is at heart a drawdown or withdrawal strategy. So which is it, or can it be both at once, time and patience, victory and withdrawal?
That's correct, both at once. That is, the victory requires us to withdraw because only the Iraqi forces can convince the insurgents that, in fact, that there's going to be a staying power to the new institutions. So long as it's the Americans doing the fighting, the insurgents continue to believe that they can outweigh us. And only when it is Iraqi forces who are confronting the insurgents will the insurgents understand that their cause is hopeless. So victory requires a drawdown. But victory also requires patience, because only once the Iraqi forces are sufficiently well-trained, well-equipped, and well-led that they can be confident of victory is it appropriate for us to draw down. So first is the patience while we train the new Iraqi forces, and then is the drawdown, which is essential for victory.
Lawrence Korb, do you see a strategy for victory in the White House announcements in the president's speech today? Do you see evidence of progress towards something like that?
No, I don't. As a matter of fact, the president, if you would listen to the president's speech, you would not know that the American fatalities are going up, that deadly attacks are at an all-time high, that reconstruction has been, you know, spotty at best, and other countries are pulling out of the coalition, and that sectarian tensions are on the rise. And I think that's the problem. I mean, if these Iraqi forces are doing so well, then, in fact, and we've increased the number of our troops, why are more Americans dying, and why are we having, you know, more attacks? And I think that's the the real issue. And I think if you take a look at his thing about training Iraqi forces, I mean, we have not done a very good job. I mean, Rumsfeld was saying that by the end of 2004 we'd have, a larger number than the president says, you know, that we have now. And then finally, he keeps conflating the war in Iraq with the war against these radical jihadists. This was not a central front in the war. Now, he made it one by going in there, but the fact of the matter is it was not. And as Jack Murtha pointed out last week, 80% of the Iraqis want us out. And to listen to the president there, you would think that, you know, that they want us in. And more ominously, as Murtha pointed out, 50% of them think it's okay to attack Americans.
So, Lawrence Korb, we've heard these calls for withdrawal from Jack Murtha and many others in the past few weeks, couple of months. With his speech today, with this plan, is the president drawing nearer to those calling for withdrawal, or is he opening up even more space between his administration and the withdrawal camp?
Well, I think he's saying that he's not, but he's indicating, I think, as Patrick mentioned, that we're getting ready to take troops out, because the fact of the matter is, if you want to keep this number of troops in Iraq for the next year or so, you're simply going to break the army, because you're going to be sending some units back there for the third and fourth time. You're also going to have to ask Congress to extend the time you can keep a Guard and Reserve people on active duty, and that would liable to spark quite a debate. So I think, despite what he says, in fact, we will be taking troops out. They've also notified some of the brigades that were supposed to go to Iraq not to go. So, I mean, in fact, despite what he says, that's in fact what's happening.
Lawrence Korb at the Center for American Progress, we thank you for being with us.
Nice to be with you again, Tom. Bye.
I want to turn to Chicago right now and Robert Pape, professor of political science at the University of Chicago. He taught for 3 years at the Air Force School of Advanced Air Power Studies in Alabama. He's author of Bombing to Win, Air Power and Coercion in War. Robert Pape, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
We are hearing today from Seymour Hersh at The New Yorker that part of what may be in the works here is a heightened leaning or dependence on air power if and when American troops no longer have so many boots on the ground. Can you imagine that as a substitute for American ground forces? Can that work? Can that support the Iraqi troops we leave behind?
It can work in some circumstances and make other circumstances much worse. The fact is that the use of air power to suppress and stop an insurgency has never been, even in the age of precision, a very effective use of air power. If it were such an effective use of air power, then, of course, the air power that we're using today, along with our highly trained ground forces in Iraq, would have already crushed the insurgency. But that's not to say that, as we draw down troops, that air power has no role whatsoever. One of the key issues here, as we draw down troops, is whether, in fact, the insurgency could grow and actually grow not just in terms of numbers of, quote, insurgents, but in terms of larger and larger enemy units operating not in penny packs or ones and twos or a handful, but in terms of battalion size and so forth. The real role of our air power in terms of providing benefit will be to keep a lid on the size of the enemy force or the Sunni forces could ever put against the Shia forces or the Kurdish forces, and that is actually quite a large benefit, although it won't you won't necessarily see that ending the insurgency.
So it might trap it as an insurgency, not permit it to grow into a real army of opposition.
That's exactly right.
Patrick Clausen at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, thank you very much for joining us this hour.
Thank you.
And Robert Pape, professor of political science at the University of Chicago, author of Dying to Win and Bombing to Win. Professor Pape, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR, National Public Radio.